Alrighty, we are officially live. Just waiting for Landon to get set up here, so just bear with us a few moments. Oh, there's Elizabeth Peppers. Wow, a bunch of you guys came in all at the same time. Hello, guys. We're just waiting for Landon to log in here, so give us a few moments. Hello, Elizabeth Peppers. Hello, Scottsbird. Hello, Jen, Chris Swoop, Tegan Hampton, Sarah, Shannon333, Joy.
Yo.
Talk again.
Yo, yo. Hello, hello.
Perfect. And Melissa, and then finally Landon came in. Okay. Alrighty. Yay. Miss DIY's here. Vonnie's here. Jess is here. Fanjet's here. The person coming in with the name T-Y-R-F-H-Y-R-T, you can go into your profile and change your name so that if you do, you know, make a comment, we can address you by your name. Jenna's here. Look at all you guys. Hello. Welcome. Alrighty. So, absolutely. Okay. So, we've come up with like a schedule that may work with live shows. So, it'll be every other week. Either Tuesday or Thursday, depending on the day that we have available. So just an FYI, that's how we're going to try to do this. Yes. And I don't know if you guys knew this, but we have the Idaho 4 episode dropping this week. My editor is currently working on it. Landon and I spent 2 hours last night recording. It's a pretty long episode. It'll actually be the longest episode, even longer than Gabby Petito's episode. And we're going to try to keep making our podcast episodes longer. It will be an exclusive episode, so you do have to be a patron paying $5 or more to obtain listening to this episode. We're going to go over a lot. I'm very new to this case. Now I've educated the crap out of myself on it, so I am very excited to go down this road with you guys, especially since all this crazy shit is happening right now when it comes to Brian Koberger, aka the suspect, the convicted person that will be convicted here soon. It's
Hello, hello, everyone coming in. Hello, Alyssa. Hello, Jen. Yeah, we can't wait for everybody to hear it either. So hopefully it gets done and edited on time, which it usually does. Hopefully, no, it's a long episode, so hopefully we have to not record certain parts again. That would be crazy. We're good, Alyssa.
I'm hoping we can get it dropped tomorrow, but like I said, it's a long episode.
So I mean, this episode's going to be at least an hour long, so yeah, it's definitely going to be at least an hour.
Yeah. Alrighty. Now, today I wanted to cover a lot of things in the sense of like predators and television predators in general, specifically the 80s and 90s. We did come up with this topic last time we were on live. I will be making a post on Facebook most likely tomorrow or in the next couple of days, just asking your opinion of topics you want to cover, just so I have some things to go off of. Sometimes the world is very slow and there's not a lot of topics, and then other times there's like unlimited topics to talk about, you know?
Yeah, sometimes, you know, like all the stuff seems to come out all in one week. It'll be like the stuff with P. Diddy, the stuff with Kanye West, the stuff with this, the stuff with that, and then the next week it's like there's nothing.
Yes, exactly. 2024 is a year of justice. I totally agree with you there. All right. So first things first, there was somebody in my comment section on TikTok who had mentioned, I guess they had listened to the last live that we had done, in relation to talking about television predators, and we were talking about Full House, and we were using Three Men and a Baby, aka the second movie, Three Men and a Little Lady, as an example, because they were curious as to what happened there. But I did want to mention that we were more so just using that as an example of, like, men, you know, shows were that are pushing men to be like the main parent back in the day, you know, to kind of like disguise predators within the household. And although I feel like that was definitely the theme, I don't feel like any abuse or anyone was assaulted. Thankfully, I feel like everything's okay. Those actors didn't do anything, so we're good there. But with that being said, if there are other television shows, that we want to cover, like, not Family Matters, but what's the other one where Alan Thicke, his father was on?
I'm not sure.
Growing Pains, thank you. That is another show I want to cover on a later date, and... ooh, guys, your opinion on Alan Thicke may change drastically. Alrighty. Next thing we're going to talk about here is Full House. Obviously, it was an extreme trigger for me because, I was obsessed with that show. That was, like, every Tuesday, my show. That was my jam. How about you guys? Did any of you guys watch that show?
I know I watched Full House every single time the episode came out, like when the new ones would come out. And then I'd even watch, like, if they did any reruns or anything. I'm pretty sure all my friends watched Full House as well.
Right. I agree. I did too. I'm 30. My 20-year-old brother loves it. Oh, that's awesome.
So it's his dad, Real Country, not actually Robin Thicke. It's his dad that was on that show.
Yes, Alan Thicke. Okay, so we're going to go through the characters and we're going to talk about their involvement in anything that was transpiring behind the scenes. And I wanted to start off with the least likely suspect all the way to the craziest one. Let's start off with John Stamos. Now, I feel as though John Stamos was pretty conceited back then, but I don't feel like he physically or sexualized any children in any case, thank God. I feel as though there were many, many women on the show, as you saw, like counterparts, people they'd come on as his girlfriend or his flavor of the week or whatever. I do feel like he violated some of these women in the past, including the women, you know, that would, especially the women that played opposite to dating him or any of them, actually, like Joey, Danny, anyone who went on dates with any of them. Because he was so, he was the playboy. He was the one that had the looks, like all the women just fawned over him. So most of them would just take their clothes off anyway, but he was so conceited that there were times where he did things and crossed a lot of lines with females. I know he has regret about it now, but I feel like he's never really talked about those things, and I wish he would. I would give kudos to somebody who was like, you know what, I fucked up. I did this, I did that. Like, but I've learned, and, you know, I'm older now. I learned my mistakes. I screwed up. I was, you know, I had a child mentality, whatever the hell you want to say. Like, I feel like he should definitely come forward and talk about that.
More like, you know, like starstruck on himself, like he got really big from this show that really pushed him forth for other things, and a lot of people, like, you know, named him at one point in time the sexiest man alive, stuff like that goes to someone's head, and then, like, they feel like they're pleasing people, and, like, they get this mentality where, like, nobody would reject me, nobody doesn't want me to touch them because everybody wants me to touch them, I'm the sexiest man alive. So, like, he probably at that time wasn't looking at it like that, and now that he's older, he's, like, looking at it like, oh shit, you know, I shouldn't have done this stuff.
Right. And, like, he was like, he you know, he had the idolization of Elvis, and I think he had that idolization in life too, and in a genuine, and also, like, he embodied Elvis as well. Like, he was like the new Elvis. He also could sing. He came out with that music video with him and his twins that were born. So, like, it was a pretty, yeah, he definitely had a lot of things going for him at that point. Okay, so that's how I feel on John Stamos. I do feel, though, interestingly enough, that at some point, as these television shows from the 80s and 90s are starting to, like, come out, where all these people, like, are abusing them and sexualizing them, I do feel like some of these women may step forward and be like, yeah, he was really bad to me. So something may come of this. Now, David Collier. Oh, my goodness. This one's a tough one to talk about. I don't feel as though he was interested in being, like, a predator to any of the kids on the show, like Candace, Jody, or the Olsen twins, or any other kids that came on the show after the fact. But I do feel like he did start to, as these kids started to grow up, like, became teenagers, I feel like he would definitely make some extremely inappropriate comments about, like, their breasts and growing up. And he definitely had an eye for young females between the ages of 18, sorry, the ages of 16 and, like, 21. I feel as though he would make a lot of dirty jokes towards the kids, too. Like, ugh. And I feel as though he had witnessed a few other people on the show doing things to the kids that were even more inappropriate than what he did. And he would just let it happen since, you know, he didn't want to lose his job. He didn't want to be, like, the shithead. He didn't want to, you know, he didn't want to be the what do you call it? The person that outs people, the rat, you know? He didn't want to do that.
Yeah, the whistleblower, the rat.
These poor 90s kids never stood a chance. I totally agree with you there.
Yeah, I agree. Like, these 90 kids, I feel like, you know, a lot of us who did grow up in the 90s, we, like, sit there and we're like, a lot of our childhoods are, like, coming to an end, like, disastrous, kind of like our lives were. Just even, like, you know, the stuff that's been coming out with all the stuff recently with the, you know, quiet on set and the different stuff like that. It just, you know, I always personally felt me, like, I could relate to a lot of these kids, and I could just see there was something way deeper and darker going on in their lives than obviously what they were portraying on the screen and stuff.
Absolutely. And by the way, Scottsbird, thanks for joining the Liz Mott fan club. Appreciate you. When you come in and out now, your name will just sparkle.
Yes, like Jenna's name does.
Yeah.
Right. Everything is tainted now. Everything is tainted. It is sad. It's so sad. I feel for a lot of these kids.
We will talk about River Phoenix in a bigger way at some point too. He's also somebody I really want to connect with in a bigger way. So we'll do that one day too. We have so many people we want to connect with, you know? Anyways, obviously he dated a lot of younger women, including Alanis Morissette. Although Alanis denies that her song You Oughta Know wasn't about him, I truly believe it was. I feel as though she had a lot of shame, and knowing it was about him, like, you know, she just tries to brush it off. I think nowadays she realizes that he was a predator back in the day, but when she was younger, she thought it was so cool, like, hey, I'm hanging out with Uncle Joey, you know?
Absolutely. Tawny Baldwin says, it makes me feel bad for even watching those shows, knowing now I help support what was happening to those kids. I totally feel that, but I feel like you can't feel bad about that because at the time you did not know what was going on. What we can do now moving forward is we just don't support spinoffs of those shows. Like, I don't watch the new Fuller House, and I refuse to watch it because I ain't going to support, you know, that kind of nonsense. Regardless if it is or isn't going on now in Hollywood, it's still giving money to those people who will get royalties off of the spinoff show that shouldn't get it, who don't deserve it. And people who were doing stuff on the shows still working in the business making money. So that's all we can do now. And then obviously do some research. Everybody should, when these kids shows come out, do some massive research on making sure there is no child predators working in Hollywood on these sets.
I think it's going to be, now that all of this is coming to light, I know we weren't able to save the 80s and 90s babies from it, but we're definitely going to be able to save the, 2020s and the 2030s and the 2040 kids from it. So
Oh yeah, like Nickelodeon is already like they are super on top of like they will not hire anyone unless you go through like an ex ridiculously extensive background check. Like you can't even have written a bad check and get working with kids. Like they're like you get nothing. You have to be like the most pristine person. Not even they probably are looking into your socials and stuff.
Absolutely. Alrighty. Now we're going to talk about Bob Saget, and oh my goodness. So I've had a little bit of experience with him. A few of my friends at the time when we had just started doing the podcast episodes had wanted us to cover Bob and like how he passed away because there was a lot of conspiracies about it. And I did a very minor touch on it at the end of one of my episodes. I really can't remember which one. But he was very shut off, like so shut off to me that it was like a wall. Like when somebody comes to do a reading with me, and if they have something to hide that's scary, they will put up a wall and totally shut me out, and then I won't be able to see everything that I could see because they're guarding their secrets with their life because they're scared, right? Well, with John, with sorry, with Bob, he was the same energy. So I didn't really get a lot from him, but it makes sense now because looking back at it, I see why. I decided to channel like the prediction side of things on what took place in the past of like Ashley Olsen, Mary Kate Olsen, like, and see what I felt from them. And I truly believe that not only Bob Saget, but a few other people, like, I know that when the kids are young, they have like nannies that like they watch the kids. The parents are there too sometimes, but they also have like stand-ins. And I feel like there were a few stand-ins at a very young age. Like they only got on the show when they were 6 months old. And I feel like they were being molested from that point onwards. Like fucked, but so true. And they were smart. And these kids, like, I feel like their childhood was truly taken away from them. And as like Michelle character grew up, she got a lot more bitchy. Like that cuteness of hers kind of left. But it's because of the attitude that she had is because she was just over it. So I definitely believe that they both were abused by Bob Saget, a director, and also people that were handling these kids along the way. And all the way through all 10 seasons of that show. Like, messed up, right? I also feel like Jodie Sweetin as well was molested. I think they didn't really start molesting her until she got a little older because kind of like her Michelle, no, sorry, kind of like her Stephanie character on the show, she was like a big mouth. So when something would happen, she would rat out what was going on. So the predators kind of stayed away from her until she got a little bit older. I actually see and believe that a lot of the predators that came after her, and I don't believe it was any of her co-hosts. I don't feel like it was Danny, Joey, or Jesse, Uncle. I don't feel like it was any of the three of them. I feel like it was like other people offset, like the director, an assistant director. I also feel like they got her hooked on drugs at a very young age, which is when she started to be sexually abused by a lot of these men. She, of all the kids, got it the worst of all of them.
So sad. Now, WZKIJDUV. Yes, we are on TikTok. We've been saying this for months and months and months and months and months and months and months that we are starting a new TikTok. She is no longer on that Psychic Liz Mott account. We are now on Freaked Out LL. on TikTok. So if you want to follow us there, that is all in relation to our podcast. That's the only TikTok that we are currently running right now. And yes, that is exactly why they did not want to come back for the new Fuller House and why they will not do any reunion stuff with them. I truly believe, like, the girls, like, you can see when the Olsen twins finally, like, let go of that situation with Bob Saget. When they came out, they were, like, anorexic, they were on drugs, they were doing a lot of drinking, they were, like, doing the rebellious stage of their healing process, which comes down to even some people who are, like, still going on with this mother freaking Britney Spears thing, like how she's dead or she's acting out and she needs to worry about what her children think. Like, people, when they come out of this bubble of having to keep things secret and be quiet and not be able to talk about it, when they finally get to talk about it or they're broken free from it, they lash out. That's what they do. And so it's not that people aren't thinking about their children or thinking about their image or thinking about, like, their job or Hollywood, because in those moments, they don't care about any of that. They're having a mental crisis and they're dealing with it. And I think that's what ultimately, like I said, with the Olsen twins, started their downfall at that time with the drinking, the partying, the doing the drugs, being anorexic. Now they seem to be much happier and healthier nowadays.
And Yaya had made a comment. They did a roast on
Yeah, I was going to read that.
And there were jokes about him raping. I seen that. That was fucking disturbing. Like, and you can see those kids just being awkwardly like, you don't need to go there. You know what I mean? Like, I understand you're trying to roast. You have no jokes on them. It's real fun to fucking talk about that. But you could see, I remember a few of them in the audience just being so uncomfortable with all of that. It was fucked up. I agree.
I agree, Tawny. They need to leave Britney alone. Like, let's go back to that Chris Crocker video, the leave Britney alone, when the guy was crying, telling people to leave her alone. Like, let's leave her alone already. Like, everybody deals and heals differently. Like, she's not dead. She's not doing anything super crazy. She's just trying to live her life. She's trying to heal. She's trying to get back those 13 years she was under a conveyor ship. Back, you know?
I also wanted to point out as well, I don't know if it was in the media or not, because I did not watch the media as heavily as I do now, but when it comes to the Olsen twins, like, I know there was anorexic times, but I also feel like one of them got to a really dangerous place and, like, almost died. And I feel like it kind of woke
Oh, yeah, up. We see them all over the tabloids. Like, everybody's seen them on the tabloids. They literally was, like, just skin laid over their bones. There was nothing there. They were very sickly. And that probably was due to self-hating from what they went through, you know, from the stuff that they went through. But like I said, now I'm glad they got back on the right track. They seem to be doing a lot better in life now. When they stepped away from, like, all movies, media, social media, everything, they just stepped away from it, focused on themselves so that they can come back, you know, stronger, able to, you know, talk about their situation now and you maybe use it for the good to prevent that from happening.
I also feel like their mom, like, did not do the best due diligence to pay attention to anything. I feel like she was all about the dollars, and I keep seeing her leaving, like, oh, the kids are going to be doing a few scenes. I'm going to run over to the store. I'll be back in a few hours. Like, I feel like she left her children unattended constantly, and they would cry and be like, no, mom. And they were smart. Like, those twins, like, I remember being a kid and being like, how the fuck are they saying all these lines so perfectly at such a young age? Like, they did a really good job with trying to, like, coach her on how to do it, but, like, damn, like I wish that these parents were paying attention just a little bit longer. There are parents that had no idea, and I don't blame every parent, but I feel like these particular parents, specifically the twins' mom, knew, like, could have stopped something. I feel like she had a blind eye. It's really sad, honestly. The paycheck was, like, more what she cared about, in my opinion. Okay. Now, speaking of the Olsen twins and the kids, I want to move on to the next person that I absolutely hate. Can't stand her. Never have. Didn't even like her back then. AKA Candace Cameron. She was, like, the golden child of that stage. She basically carried the other kids from the show, because she was the oldest, she comprehended more, they would give her more scenes, they would give her more attention, and she loved it. Now, she was never sexualized in any capacity. She never, nobody touched her, nobody did anything to her, nothing. Like, this kid was basically like ironclad. Like, her parents were heavily involved in everything, very religious. Like, I feel like her parents made sure that she was a star, but also not like falling into it. So she had a very different experience than the other kids. And I see that Jodie Sweetin, on many occasions, would like try to talk to her about it, and totally putting a blind eye, like, oh, I don't know what the hell you're talking about, go pray about it, you know what I mean? Like, she didn't care. She swept everything under the rug. I do feel like Kimmy Gibbler, I don't know the name of the actress there, but the woman that played Kimmy Gibbler was the person that Jodie Sweetin would communicate with, and they also had a relationship, and I think Kimmy Gibbler secretly also hated Candace Cameron. So, like, there's all that, too.
I mean, she probably did, because Candace, a.k.a. DJ, was always so, like, mean to her on the show, even though they were supposed to be best friends. But, like, you know, Candace always got the better of whatever it was that was happening on the show and stuff.
Right. They had to make Kimmy Gibbler constantly unappealing. And that probably
unappealing and stupid. But it did. I actually read an article that she had wrote. She had come out, like, and I'm talking, like, this was, like, in the early 2000, she had come out after the show kind of stopped, saying how she actually really hated playing the character of Kimmy, because she was like, I'm actually super smart, and a lot of people thought that I was dumb, thought that I was stupid, and I didn't like the way that they made me feel. Like, they made me feel like I was stupid, and I wasn't.
And they,
like,
I think they did like two episodes for her where you can see the vulnerable side of her, like, and like,
yes, yes.
But they always tried their hardest, like, to say she had really smelly feet, she stunk, she was stupid. Like, I agree. Like, they never even allowed that character to evolve. They just needed her as like a scapegoat, and I totally see that as well. Okay, but back to Candace Cameron. She is the epitome of evil. I feel as though she has no soul within her. Honestly, she cares about Cameron. Candace Cameron. She just cares about her little bubble. But here's something where I looked into it, because I was like, when is this woman going to get a dose of reality? Because she has yet to do that, because she's always had a very privileged white woman life, and she doesn't see anything wrong with the world in any capacity. Just closing my eyes, pretending like nothing's fucking wrong. But I do feel like either one of her children or one of her grandchildren, I think it's going to be a grandchild, is going to be trans. And they are going to come out, and their mom is going to accept them. And Candace is not going to be accepting. In fact, she's going to be the polar opposite, and there's going to be a huge thing that happens. It's going to be pretty crazy, but she is going to have some serious backlash. I feel like she's going to be canceled at some point as well.
Well, I think she's already on the road to being canceled here, because she does play in a lot of Lifetime movies. I'm going to read this comment here in a minute. She does play in a lot of Lifetime movies, and she did get a role in a movie, but because the two star actors in this Lifetime movie, it was a Christmas movie, were gay, and they were going to be focusing on that, she denied the role because she was like, I can't support that. So she already got backlash from that. So when it becomes to her own family, I think that's like going to bring her down even more now. Shannon333 says, I can't watch an episode now without thinking what an inhumane monster she grew up to be. How does someone raised like her with every possible advantage and privilege in life grow up to be such a hateful monster? Exactly that line right there. Reread that line. How does someone who was raised with her every possible advantage and privilege, it's called white privilege. She grew up very white privileged, unfortunately. She, like Liz said, she didn't have the same experience as some of the other children did. Her parents were very religious. I'm sure that they held her money. They made her be very responsible. Her parents were on set. A lot of people who are religious and also tied in with, like, you know, this other comment up here, how she, Yaya, says Jody is a huge activist and Candace had some huge controversy when she said something about supporting Trump. Yes, she also supports Trump. So that is also not very good in today's society when it comes to, like, the LGBTQ communities and stuff like that, like, going around saying that. And a lot of TV shows are very inclusive. It doesn't matter if you're, no, you're, like, gay or trans or whatever, they don't care, and you have to accept everyone, and she doesn't, so that's a huge problem.
Yes, they all are. They were growing up, from what I gathered. I like tried to look in the past to see like where this hatred came from, and it was drilled into their mind from their parents, and it was also drilled into their mind on how to sweep things under the rug. And you know what? It's going to get them one day, both of them, honestly. Like, and you know what? Like, I think she deserves it. I think she deserves to receive something. Did she? I think she was married to a Canadian hockey player at some point that Joey, a.k.a. Dave, introduced her to as well. And so, like, you know, it's just weird. It's just a weird dynamic. But anyways.
Pavel Beer. Somebody says Pavel Beer.
Is she part of the eye? That is a good question. Abso-friggin-lutely she is. She
is a perfect candidate to be in the eye. Like, she is a perfect candidate for them because she does what she's told. She's very easily controlled. You know, like, she already is into religion. So they're like, this is a super religion. And she's like, oh my God, yes, super religion. Like, she is 1,000% a perfect candidate.
Now with saying that, you know, like it's pretty crazy. The other thing is she also put a blind eye. Like, I know that Jody came to her and told her situations, and, you know, I also feel like she saw certain situations and just pretended it didn't happen. And actually, I feel like she was the rat of the group. So, like, let's just say the kids were, you know, having a disagreement or talking about somebody in a bad way. She'd be like, so those kids are doing that. Like, she was like, you know, like the one that would always try to kiss up to the adults.
Teacher's pet.
Yes,
yep. Teacher's pet. Always, you know, calling everybody out and stuff
and
like
you
that.
Know what? And it's sad because, like, there was somebody, we were watching a movie yesterday or something. No, I think it was Survivor. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But religion is not supposed to be there to hold on to. Like, a lot of bad people think that because they are religious or Christian, that's going to take away from all the evil things that they did and have done and are still doing. No, religion is not about that. People are making religion a lot worse because of the way they hold on to it in such a bad, negative, members-only club going on, you know?
I mean, yeah, I can, like, I'll this brief little thing that really stuck in my head growing up, like, my family was super religious as well and forced us to go to, like, Bible study, Bible school. We had to make our communions, all that stuff. And I remember going through the communion classes, and the one thing that stuck out of every single thing that these teachers were saying was they said, you could murder everyone on this planet and you will still get accepted into heaven as long as you repent. And I sat there and I thought about that. And then I raised my hand. I said, so if I kill everybody in this classroom, everybody on earth right now, and I go up to heaven and I die and I say, oh yeah, I repent, sorry, I'm going to get to go to heaven. And they're like, yeah, pretty much. And I'm like, I don't think it works that way. I don't think that's how it works. But they tell people this, which is why they're like, oh, it doesn't matter what I do when I'm on earth. I could be a bag of shit. I'm still going to go to heaven. No, the hell you're not. You're not going to. Jeffrey Dahmer is not in heaven, people. He's not in heaven, man. He will never make it there. You cannot kill people and be a sick, twisted person and still get in there. Like, if you killed somebody, let's say, for instance, like the movie Taken. We'll use that as an example. Dude ends up going after the people that killed and raped his wife and his daughter. And he killed for justice because he got no justice. These people got off. He may feel bad for killing them, but he was killing in the justice of his small child and his wife. He wasn't doing it to just do it. He may have to do something to get that back, but he ain't going to go to hell for it either. It really depends on what you do. So it's like these religions Absolutely. Put false hope in people's mind, and that's not good.
Absolutely. It's fucking terrible, honestly. And the other thing is, like, you know, it just makes for a bad name. And like in my comment section sometimes, people will come and, like, throw Bible verses at me and say things and talk about how, like, oh, this is the devil you're talking to. It's not spirits and blah, 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 blah. And then I'm like, look, buddy, I'm already on the shit list. I would consider myself a pansexual person, and that's not okay in this religion anymore. So that's probably what I would go to hell for first, in your opinion, you know? But anyways,
yeah, there's a lot of people you can't talk religion with. I can't talk religion with my family in any way, shape, or form.
No. Okay. So I did want to let you guys know as well that I'm just going to give you a little teaser. So J-Lo, I was never paying attention to J-Lo in any capacity because I was so fixated on P. Diddy, but I've been doing a deep dive when it comes to J-Lo and everything J-Lo related. So my feelings on her are pretty crazy. Obviously, I don't know if a lot of you know about this person. I didn't know about her until people told me about her, but Kyle Marissa Roth, she actually passed away unexpectedly. Apparently, she passed away of colon cancer. And, I mean, that could very well be true. But there was also some beef between her and J-Lo. And she had posted this, like, video that was very eerie, basically saying that if I die, it's because of J-Lo. Like, she put that out there, the video got taken down, and then she died, right? I truly believe, in my heart of hearts, that something wasn't right with that situation. Like, there was a huge factor connected to J-Lo and this death, and I truly believe it does have something to do with the eye as well. It's pretty crazy, actually. Now, she's somebody who would talk freely about celebrities and point things out about people, and celebrities don't like that, right? I also made a small video on TikTok, but I was very careful on what to say, and I didn't point directly at J-Lo, but I feel safer on the podcast saying it because no, J-Lo's not going to be listening to my podcast, you know what I'm saying? but she definitely might find me on TikTok because those videos go viral sometimes. Even that video almost got like 100,000 people on it. But anyway, I've been looking into her and Ben, and I keep getting this like lazy vibe from Ben. Like he just wants to live his life on the couch doing nothing. J-Lo has zero intention of growing old in any capacity. The other day I was talking to Landon about J-Lo, and he's like, she's drinking that Jesus piss to keep her young, because ain't no way she's still looking like that. And I totally agree.
No, like, she's like almost in her 60s and she still looks like she's 20. Like, how is that even possible? No, she have to be doing something. Hollywood gave her something to stay that way. And I ain't even talking about no plastic surgery or nothing, because a lot of people who get that, what are those, the Botox, their face ends up becoming like a hard rock and they can't be like flawless skin. They get, it just doesn't work. So like, I don't know what's going on with her, but yeah, no. Yeah, she is. She drinking the juice. I left one too, and J-Lo hearted it. I don't know if it's her real account.
Oh, it's probably one of her fucking many people that she hires. Like, I see her being somebody really terrible to work for, too. Like, she's just an asshole. I think I fell for J-Lo's romance comedies. Because, like, in the romantic comedies, like, she's very likable. Like, but in reality, she's not like that, right? So she's really good at putting on a show, right? So we just got to kind of look at it like that.
But I mean, yes, Cher still looks young, but you could tell Cher is aging. And even if you listen to Cher, like when she does anything now, like interviews or something, you hear in her voice, like, you know, she's getting older and stuff. Like, J-Lo still have the same voice as when she was 20. Nothing's changed. That's a little crazy to me. Now, this is somebody I think is a robot. Like, that's something.
Now, Jennifer Garner, like, Ben put out all this craziness about her, but she was simply just a woman living her life with a guy that's at home being lazy, not doing what he needs to do, calling him out on his bullshit, and then he looked at her like she was somebody traumatic. Meanwhile, I feel like he was texting J-Lo his entire relationship, like, oh, please, baby, this relationship would be so amazing. The two of them built this, like, fucking fantasy together for years on end about how they should get back together. And because of the fame, that's what broke them up. And now they're together, and I feel like he's very unhappy with her, too, and might have some regrets surrounding Jen, so... C'est la vie there, buddy. C'est la vie, you deserve it.
He's stupid. She's his karma. Nobody's heard what other celebrities have said about J-Lo.
I haven't heard of anyone else's comments. If you want to, you know, give us some information, Vonnie, I'd totally appreciate that. But I did want to mention that I'm giving you guys like a little teaser, but we are going to be talking about J-Lo's direct connection to the Illuminati on the next Illuminati episode that's going to be coming out in May. They claim she steals music and is not a nice person. She, like, mimics other celebrities. That I've
heard that. I also heard that J-Lo, she hires a lot of foreign people to do her work and stuff, and she also is one of the celebrities that pays them the lowest amount, like not even minimum wage type of amount, for people to be her housekeepers and, you know, her gardeners, like anything that's like a, you know, low-end job, she treats them very shitty. And I heard that she's also a big time princess on sets and stuff. So I've heard that.
And Selena does not like J-Lo. Oops. Not our daughter.
Oh, the Selena that everybody asks about. Yeah. Yeah. Because probably J-Lo is like the modern day Selena, like in right. people's eyes, right. you know, because they're both Latino and stuff.
Yes, she played her and she sang her songs and she did that whole movie. She doesn't like J-Lo. She liked her back then. She did like her back then, like when she was in part of the movie side of things. But after that, no, she didn't like her no more. But I think it's hilarious. That is, I think it's kind of like Mariah Carey. She got too big for her britches.
So Shannon, we actually talked about Aaliyah and like her death and stuff like that on an episode of our podcast. So you could go take a listen to that.
I think it's on the free side too.
I think it's on the free side. So I don't.
From TikTok when we got.
It was a bonus episode that we won for everybody. So you can hear about that and who really you know took her life and stuff there. She can't sing live at all. You know, I feel that way about a lot of celebrities. They can't sing live. She tries too hard. I heard she's so rude to them. Yeah, she is. She's very rude. I heard that she is very rude. Not Selena Gomez, the other Selena. Oh, snap. The one she played, right? Yep. That one. She probably is mad at her playing her in the movie. Yep, that's what Liz just said. She was not very happy with her, how she played her in the movie.
She was excited about her portraying her, but when she did the movie, she was not happy about it because she had a lot of like drama queen moments too and like wanted her to also be like a star. And but basically this movie, like I know she was on the map, but I feel like this movie put her even more on the map in my opinion. So... but anyways, alrighty, so moving right along, so that's when we'll talk more about J-Lo, but we got a whole ass fucking, Tom Cruise got ripped apart last one, this one will be J-Lo and J-Lo's counterpart, so we'll probably throw Diddy in there too at some point as well. Okay, so now I wanted to mention something that happened yesterday. I wasn't even going to add this into the episode today, but I just had to share it with you guys because it was actually really crazy. So Landon and I have been watching Survivor. He never gotten an opportunity to watch it. We started out watching it from like season 8 moving forward, and which is like back in the early 2000s, so we have a lot of seasons to catch up on. But we came across an episode, a season, where there was a wrestler named Ashley Massaro, who was actually a WWE wrestler, and she came on to Survivor, which I thought was pretty cool. I actually really loved Ashley. I think I liked her style because, yes, she was pink, yes, she dressed like a girl, but she also had like big boots and like she would wear her hat sideways. She had a lot of piercings, tattoos. Like she was kind of like the anti what girls were really like about back then for wrestlers.
Yeah, the anti-valet, the anti, like, showgirl type of thing. Like, she was definitely, for sure.
So I decided to start looking up information because I was like, oh my God, whatever happened to Ashley? And as I was looking, I had seen that she had committed suicide in 2019. And I was like, oh my God, what? So obviously I started digging a little deeper and I turned to Landon and I'm like, you know, she killed herself because of Vince McMahon. Like, I just feel it in my gut. So we started doing some research and sure enough, there was a moment where Ashley did come out and talk about what McMahon did to her, but it was like hidden. They hid it. They totally hid that from the world. She had accused Vince of sexually preying on wrestlers. So she wasn't even just talking about herself. It was just everyone. And this statement was unreleased. Now, she did tell people about it within WWE, but she was hushed. And so Ashley wanted to come forward and tell her story a bit. Now, she's a very bossy spirit. So she kind of wanted to share a little bit of what she never got to share. So I'm going to share that with you guys today. She is someone who does not enjoy being sexualized. Like if a guy like catcalls her, she hates it. In fact, she'll probably punch you in the face if you catcall her. She does not like when a man tells her what to do. Now, she always felt pretty confident because she wasn't just like a valet, like Landon said. She did actually wrestle, and she was pretty talented, in my opinion, and she had a great career ahead of her. And she truly felt like she got there because of her talent, until Vince McMahon. Now, he crossed a line pretty significantly with her. Now, she shows me it happened a few times, but there was one particular time that he had groped her and she was bending over, I think tying her shoelaces up for her wrestling gear. And he did not stop. He continued to like carry on. He put his penis up against her ass. She told him to stop in that moment. Obviously he laughed it off like he laughs off everything else. Like, hey, I'm the boss. I can do what I want, you know? She called him out pretty severely, like bad. She called him out in a way that would, like, emasculate somebody like that, you know? So she called him out, she called all these people out, and for not sticking up for her, everyone just kind of let it happen. So she, you know, she basically felt broken at that point. He had made a statement to her that stuck with her, that she only got as far as she did because of the way she looks and to remember that. And, that really messed with her a lot. I see that she came as far as communicating with law enforcement and officials within wrestling, even people that had like stocks. She communicated with counselors. She communicated with other wrestlers. And they all basically told her to keep quiet. Like, don't say anything. And she couldn't. So she started to crumble in her life. And I'm not sure if she had drugs or not, but I feel like drugs were a huge factor, maybe at least in the death side of things. She made a lot of male friend wrestlers, you know, so that they can keep her protected at least for a while. And she had to be quiet and ignore it, and that was too much for her. Vince McMahon ultimately being, you know, who he is, he put her in an early grave. And she's a very loud spirit. And yeah, I wasn't really trying to channel her, but she kind of came to me anyway, and I'm glad she did. She's so glad that these other women are speaking out. She also says it's not enough. These women, like, are not coming out enough. There are a lot of people on the roster, even now, that are still scared to say something, and she hopes that they get that. She hopes that they find that courage to do so.
Yeah, Janelle Grant just came forward the other day. There's going to be a lot more that are going to come out. I personally feel like as soon as Vince McMahon dies, I feel like everybody is going to be flying out of the woodworks. I feel like a lot of people have signed NDAs and different things like that. He paid a lot of people off, a lot of hush money, all this stuff. So they can't really come out and speak about it. But as soon as he dies, he's going to be dead. He can't say one way or another. I think they'll finally be able to tell their side of the story once that time comes.
Oh, Stephanie knew, her brother knew, Linda.
Well, that's why,
they all knew.
Yeah, that's why Vince McMahon sold his portions. He sold a bunch of portions of the WWE off to TKO, who recently bought them, and now it just has been released that he is selling off the rest of his shares and stuff in WWE. So they're literally trying to push him out of there with owning nothing, not even being on the board, nothing. They're pushing him out, making him sell the rest of them off because obviously they do not want, specifically the WWE does not want to, go under. So I think they're being smart about it. They're trying to get him out before the rest of it comes to light and before he dies so that people don't have to take responsibility for that. It'll be
Absolutely.
like his estate that will probably end up paying out
I agree,
people.
and I don't feel like McMahon's going to be around for much longer, maybe like 3, 4 years more.
Yeah, me neither. I think he's coming
Yeah,
down, which is why they're trying to make him do it now versus later.
right. But from what I gather, I do feel as though he is going to die and these people are going to finally come out in a bigger way at that point.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%, Shannon. I definitely believe Stephanie married Triple H so she could get away from her dad, and he was creepy with her too. Even if you see her, Stephanie, when she was very young on the show, and would come on certain times, she would be that way for sure. If you notice, Stephanie tried to talk about the women's division like quite a few years ago when all this was going on, and her dad just told her to shut up about it. So she decided to walk away. She was obviously there in the background, went down to NXT, was working with the women down there because her dad didn't really focus on NXT. And she stayed down there for a long time. And now, just recently, she came back at WrestleMania 40, and that was her first time in like a decade of being on WWE because Triple H has taken over and it's now the Triple H era. Stephanie's happy about this era, and I think her message on stage obviously was very, very deluded in what she wanted to say, but basically saying, my father doesn't have control anymore, and I'm here and proud to stand here and say, I'm not like him, and I'm here supporting my husband.
Jenna says she's craving hot dogs. Me too. Me too. Hot dogs are good. Okay. Yes, if you guys have not heard the Jack the Ripper episode, I highly recommend going and taking a listen. It is available for everyone to listen. We just posted it, and I'll tell you guys, it was banging. So if you haven't listened to it yet, oh my God, the second part is going to be even funnier because the person that passed away, her name was Dark Annie. Isn't that crazy? Dark Annie. I don't know. I just find it very mysterious. I can't wait to dive into Dark Annie. But anyways, getting back, we're going to be doing the episode 2 in May because I'm just so obsessed with this Jack the Ripper, collection we've got going on here. But anyways, the other thing I want to mention before we go for the evening is this. We did announce it on our Facebook account, but what I've done is I tried to go the email route when it came to readings and then cut out the video side of things, but that was not working for me. I have so many email readings to do now. I'm going to be doing readings, email readings, like pretty extensively for the next like month or so. But anyways, I took them all off as a service, but I did put back on my calendar the mediumship video calls. I've had the psychic video calls on this whole time, but I did go away for a 2-week period for vacation. So if I'm not the only service I did not bring back via video is the half and half service because it's too draining. So if you do want to book a mediumship and a psychic reading, you're going to have to book them on 2 separate days. I don't care if you do one on Monday and then one on Wednesday, that doesn't bother me, but just make sure you do that. But yeah, those services are still there. They are available for you. Yes, I do service calls. I do readings on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. So while you can definitely take a look, I don't know how long this is going to be there. I'm just trying to help everyone out and help myself out a little bit more because damn, these emails are taking up all my podcast time. But anyways, guys, I just wanted to let you know that. Now, did you guys have any question about today's episode at all? Please leave them in the comments.
I mean, it kind of is a service call in one way or another because it's a service
When
that
they
she
don't
has to
show up,
provide.
when they don't show up, I feel like it's a service call because I'm waiting there for people not to show up.
I think it's just a service call regardless because you have to provide a service to people on a call, no matter what. Like, less like a service call when they don't stay or they don't come. Yes, it was definitely fun. It was fun. It was fun. Let's see. I'm just going to see here any comments. Do you have a suspicion of who he was? Who, Jack the Ripper? I'm pretty sure we're probably going to talk about it in some episode, but we're going to be right now focusing on the victims, because he has quite a few. So we'll be doing episodes about each victim first, and we'll see if we can unveil who he is. I do think Liz does have a suspicion of who she believes it is already, but as we're going through, you know, she'll probably get more concrete with if it is this person or if it's not. Nobody can hear you.
Absolutely. I agree with you wholeheartedly that like Landon said, we have a suspicion, but also makes me want to like dive into these other cases. Like the other case that I'm really looking forward to is the Manson case.
Charles Manson. I want to look into that too. And Shannon, don't feel bad. We actually haven't really been live too many times, because we just scheduling issues and stuff like that have just been so hectic. So we just started like coming back more recently within the last like couple weeks. So
thank you so much, Dorothy. I appreciate you. I appreciate all of you guys. And yes, Sharon Tate for sure. Can't wait to cover that. It's going to be huge as well. We are diving deep into everything. These episodes are just getting better and better as time progresses. And we love being here with you guys. Like, it's not work for me. Yes, I had vacation for 2 weeks, but yes, I had to do a couple of podcast episodes. But no, I did not feel like it was work for me. It was like, this is amazing. I'm enjoying this. So, but anyways, guys, yes, thank you for being here. We will be back exactly in 2 weeks, either Tuesday or Thursday. We'll let everyone know on the Facebook group. So make sure to join us in the Facebook group because we do let you guys know that all the time. And don't forget Idaho 4 this weekend coming out. So woohoo! Take care, guys.
No problem. Thank you all for coming in. We'll see you next time. And remember to stay freaked out.